Well, good morning, everybody. Let me go ahead and open us with a word of prayer, and we'll get started here. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to meet and to think about the gift of the church and the gift of church membership. We do pray that you would help us, and I pray for each of these members of the class as they are seeking to learn more about what it means to be a member, what makes our church tick. And I pray particularly for those who are not yet members, but who are trying to feel out if this is the right place for them to be committed and involved, and ask that you would help this class as a whole to be useful to them, to answer their questions, and to help them to have confidence in what you want them to do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, good morning. So there's a couple of things we're going to do today. We have a much smaller class today than we normally will because not only are a lot of our students on spring break, we have a number of those that will be joining us as well, but there's some other couples who were sick today. So we've got, I think, 20 people signed up for the class, all told. Now, you know, Murphy's Law is we probably won't get all 20 of those in, you know, on a given Sunday, but we'll have a few more kind of joining us as we come. So we're going to approach things a little bit differently because of that. What I like to do in kind of the first new members class time together is to talk about, you know, church membership, go over some things, but I also like to give you guys a chance to just share briefly, you know, name, church background, and kind of, you know, why you're taking the class. So some of you are already members and just haven't had the chance to take a class or wanted to set in on a class, which is great. Others of you may say, okay, I know I want to be a member and I just want to go through the class to get a process. Others may say, well, I'm trying to get a feel for, you know, if this is the church for us to stay at or if we need to look somewhere else. And that's absolutely fine. Part of why I want a chance to hear what you're looking for is, you know, we have kind of things that we want to cover in this class, but the reason why we do this in person rather than just saying, okay, we'll record it once and then tell everyone to go listen is we want it to be dynamic. We want it to be something where we can answer the questions that you're actually asking and give you the information that you actually need to sort through the decisions you're making and just give you the best exposure possible to, you know, what we believe, why we believe it, and how all of that works. So that's what we'll do today. So for those of you who are more introverted, you know, we'll do that at the end. So you've kind of got the rest of class to build yourself up to, you know, those introductions. Nothing too in-depth, but just a quick chance to kind of get to know each other's names, a bit about the background and so forth. And I'll probably do that again next week with those who join us. Hey, this is new members class. Yeah. More than one way to get new members. Just say, pull them in. So we'll do that at the end. What I want to do here as we start is, first off, just a couple of housekeeping items. So you have noticed Jimmy passed out these binders. Each of you can take one of these home. This is something that we're putting together as kind of a resource for you. And there's a couple of things I want to just highlight about this as we begin. First off, you should see on the first page there the kind of roadmap, the syllabus for our time together. And one thing to change on this is, let's see. So next week will actually be, you'll be stuck with me again. So I'll be teaching next week on the history of Presbyterianism in Europe and America. And then actually Elder Rick will be doing class 4, which is on creeds, confessions, and church history. So just a quick thing to note there. Let me just kind of walk through what we're covering, because this will give you a feel of what you can expect out of this class, okay? So today is, in a sense, maybe the most kind of single important class, because I'm trying to kind of help us think through what is church membership, why do we do it, what does it mean, and what's the process to become a member. So probably a lot of the things that are kind of most at the surface of your mind when you think about going through a new members class, we're going to talk about today. So that'll kind of give us a good foundation. And then what we're going to do in the next 8 weeks after that is to just spend a little bit of time talking about our history as a church, our theology as a church, and our worship as a church. Now, some of you who are coming from, you know, PCA or OPC churches, there will be a lot there that's maybe familiar to you. Others of you who are maybe kind of, this is your first time in a Presbyterian church, hopefully that'll kind of help to orient you to some of the things that you maybe see. Okay, I can tell that's different, but why do you do that? Or where does that come from? Or I hear people use this term. What does that mean? And so we'll try to kind of go through some of those things so that you have that context. And we're being very selective here. There's a lot that we're not covering, but we want to just hit some of the highlights so that you're kind of oriented to, you know, again, what makes us tick as a church, what we think is really important, and things that we think are helpful for you to know as you think about coming into our body and being part of our congregation. So we'll kind of go through a number of those things. Like I said, there's a lot that we're not covering. And even when we do have the chance to talk about, you know, for example, class five, we'll talk about covenant theology and redemptive historical interpretation. You could do a whole class on covenant theology. You know, we're going to have one lesson kind of thing. So if you are the kind of person who has a lot of questions, you know, beyond what we're going to get to in this class, or just want to know where you can go to learn more about something, if you flip to the next page, you'll see there's a, you know, resources for digging deeper that we've put together. So this kind of lets you see for each class, what are some places you could go to find out more about membership, about Presbyterian church history, about worship, you know, whatever it is. And so we've tried to just pull out some books that would be accessible to you, something that could help you to dig in further if you want to do that. So that's something that you can kind of look at. Not required reading. There will be no exam or test, right? But just it's there if it's helpful for you. We've also given you just some blank sheets of paper. So the idea is you could bring this binder with you to class every week and just kind of contain, you know, your thoughts and so forth on it. The last thing to highlight, Heather has put these together and Missy has helped as well. So you've got these different tabs there. And there's one for each of our classes. And so what we're doing with that is just giving you some kind of further resources to go beyond what we can cover in this class. So the recommended, you know, resources for digging deeper, that's just there if you want it. This material, you know, the outlines, hey, Titus, come on in, membership vows and, you know, articles and things are things that we would really encourage you to take time to read through. You know, it's things that we really want you to know, but that we may not have time to go through in a given class. We've tried to keep those pretty brief, so we're not going to give you 30 pages of reading, but it might be 4 or 5 pages, and so we just ask that you would take time to kind of go through that. So for today's class, you'll see, if you flip to that first pink tab, you know, just after the lined paper for notes, there'll actually be kind of an outline of what we want to cover in the rest of our time today. So if you're a note taker, feel free to make use of that. Welcome to those who just came in. So you should have binders there, one for each of you. We were just kind of going over what all is in that for you. And we might have some other resources that we share as we go, but this will give you some of the things that we used last time we did the class that people found helpful. So just kind of an orientation to that resource. Any questions about any of that? Okay, so as you can see, this is our chance to kind of, you know, just share some of those basic background about what we believe, why we believe it, why we do what we do, and so forth. So we're trying to kind of give you a chance to explore more of what makes Catoctin tick and to ask questions that you have. So throughout this class, you're never interrupting by asking a question. You know, we'd rather have the chance to talk through things than to just get through our outline. So always feel free to ask questions, and we can always, and I also want to just offer now at the beginning that I'm hoping that this time will spark questions as well. So if you ever say, I'd love to talk about this more, feel free to, you know, reach out to me. My number and email address is on the back of the bulletin, or any of the elders, and we'd be happy to talk with you further, give you resources, any of those things. One last thing in terms of the syllabus. We've got 9 classes. You'll be stuck with me for 5 of those classes, but then one of the elders each will take a lesson. So you'll get to hear from each of our elders, give them a chance to get to know you, you a chance to get to know them, that kind of thing. So that can be helpful for you. Okay, last kind of housekeeping item to discuss, and this is going to be most of interest for those of you who are not members but are just trying to figure out, is this something I want to pursue? And that is, I want to just start by going over what's the process for becoming a member at Catoctin Covenant Presbyterian Church, so that you can kind of know how this class fits into that. Some of you who are coming again from, you know, sister churches that are very close to us, if you're coming from the PCA or the OPC, we will often just say, you know, look, the process is sit down, talk with the elders, give us a chance to get to know you. We'll reach out to your former church, and if they say, yes, this person is, you know, a member in good standing, they're not running away from some problem or something, then we're happy to receive you into membership, you know, just kind of through that process. We still encourage people to go through a new members class when they're able, because we think it's helpful for you to hear what we think is important about our church and to ask questions and so forth. But some of you are kind of in that category. You've already become members. This is just a chance to kind of go through the class. So that's wonderful. But if you're kind of coming in from outside, this is all kind of new to you. What does that process for membership look like? Well, there's really a couple of things to say here. So the first, and this is what something I really want to stress at the beginning, and I'll probably mention as we go, is what we are looking for in terms of membership is basically two things, okay? We have 9 weeks. We're going to talk about our history and theology and worship. We're not going to quiz you on those things when you talk to the elders. We're not looking for you to sign off on everything that we talk about in this class or everything that we would teach as a church. What we're looking for is something much more basic, something much more foundational. We're looking for, really, first off, do you have a credible profession of faith? And a credible profession of faith looks like an embrace and belief in the gospel, right? The essentials of the faith. And the second thing we're looking for is, you know, understanding who we are and what we believe as a church. Are you willing to be part of our church? Are you willing to submit to the government of the church, to be part of the worship and the service of the church? Do you think you can live here, right? That's kind of the question. You know, do you believe in Jesus and then the gospel is laid out in the scriptures? And are you willing to be part of this body with all that that means? And that's really what we're looking for. Now, that may surprise you because Presbyterians kind of have a reputation of being people who always kind of are pushing the bar higher and higher, and we've got all these theological things fleshed out. But we intentionally, right, as a denomination, say the bar for membership is not, do you subscribe to the Westminster Standards, which is kind of our fleshing out of what we think the Scripture teaches on all sorts of different issues. To do that, we think, would be putting the bar higher than where the Bible has it. The Bible is interested in, are you united to Christ? If you're united to Christ, then you should be united to his body. So we're not looking for all of you to be, you know, fully fleshed out Presbyterians, nor do we expect that everyone is going to agree with us on everything. So as you get to know people who are members at Catoctin, you might find some who are actually, you know, Baptist, but they're happy to worship here. Others of whom are Reformed, others of whom are like, yeah, maybe I'm a four-point Calvinist or something like that. There may be different views of eschatology, right? There's a diversity of belief here, and we actually think that's how it should be. Because if we're kind of in, you know, narrowing the entrance to saying we're looking for people who already agree with us on everything, then we're not being what the church, as it's described in the New Testament, is supposed to be. We want to be a place where people can grow in their faith. So here's what that means for you. What that means for you is we want to go beyond just the kind of basic membership vows because we want you to know what you're going to be hearing from us. Because we are going to preach and teach what we believe the whole counsel of God says. And we are actively going to be working for and praying to help you grow in your understanding of these things. And we do believe that the Bible speaks to some of these issues, and we're going to preach what we think the Bible believes. So we want you to know, okay, what you're going to be hearing. But we also want you to hear that what Christ is calling for is commitment to the gospel and commitment to his church. And so when we're actually interviewing you, you know, kind of the bar for membership, that's what we're looking for. So hopefully that takes a little bit of pressure off in this class that you don't think, okay, I have to, in the next 9 weeks, either be able to sign off on the Westminster Standards or I need to go find a new church, right? That's not really the question. It's do you understand what we believe as a church, and is that something that you're willing to be part of and live under? And do you have that credible profession of faith? So this class is designed to help orient you to those things and to give you a feel for our church. So how does that fit into the process then? Well, the process then basically is we want you to go through this class so that you have a confidence that you know the church, before you join. And it gives us a chance to get to know you as well. And then after going through the class, we'll reach out to you and say, are you interested in sitting down and having an interview with the elders? You may not be. You may have questions that you want to consider, and we can talk about those things more. Or you may say, you know what? No, I think I do know, you know, what I need to know, and I'm happy to sit down with the elders. And so we would at that point interview you, which is basically, again, not a theological exam on all the minutia, but it's asking, tell us about how God has been at work in your life. Tell us about your understanding of the gospel. You know, we'll want to see that credible profession in terms of what you believe theologically and also your life and behavior, right? So we're just looking for the kind of those basic things, and we'll put before you the five membership vows. So again, if you're looking at your binder there, you'll see kind of the next page there, the five membership vows of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. So those are the questions that you need to be able to answer and say, yes, I can agree to these things. You know, it's basically, you know, do you believe in the authority, inspiration, infallibility of Scripture? Do you believe in the triune God and that Christ is the one mediator? Do you believe that you're a sinner who needs to be saved and who can only be saved by Christ? Do you believe that being saved means that you live as a Christian, you live following Christ, relying on the grace of God, serving Him with all that's in you, forsaking the world, all of those things, living a godly life, right? And then the fifth vow is kind of that. So the first four are kind of that, do you believe the gospel, really, right? These are things that all Christians in all times and all places have believed. And then the fifth vow is, do you promise to participate faithfully in this church's worship and service, to submit in the Lord to its government, and to heed its discipline, even in case you should be found delinquent in doctrine or life. So that's the kind of, are you able in good conscience to live with us, you know, in this church, being part of its worship and service, submitting to the government, heeding its discipline. And we'll talk more about discipline and some of those things that pop up there. But that's it. That's what we're asking for. And so when we meet with you as elders, this is what we're going to be focusing on and asking you about. And those are some of my favorite times, because we get the chance to kind of hear people's testimonies, hear about how God has brought them here and what they're excited about, and it's wonderful. And so we have this chance to meet with people, and then we as a session would go at our normal session meeting. We kind of talk about any interviews we've had and, you know, approve those, or if we have more questions, we might follow up. But, you know, usually it's a chance just to talk, and then we can approve those. And then we set a date, and you're received as a member. So that's the process, right? Fairly straightforward. And we hope that this class will be a helpful part of that process. So I want to dive into talking about membership a bit in the rest of our time together. But first, any questions about any of that? Process for church membership, what we're doing in this class, five membership vows. Okay, good. So I would encourage you to read over those vows and just see if there's any questions that jump out at you as you read those. And again, we can talk about those outside of class or in any of our classes moving forward. All right, so all of that's kind of our basic housekeeping stuff. Now what I want to do is just take about 20 minutes here and run through some things on membership. So there's three kind of questions I want us to think about. First, why membership? Second, what does it mean to be a member? And then third, how does Catoctin do membership? And we've already kind of talked about that process. If we have time, I'll flesh out a few more things about that. But really, I want to focus on those first two questions. Why church membership? And then what does it mean to be a member? Now, why church membership? Not all churches have church membership. Some of you may have come from context where you grew up in the church, right? Going to church every Sunday, maybe even volunteering with VBS or Sunday school or different things like that. But you were never asked to go through a new members class or sit down and talk with the elders. You know, your name is not on the rolls anywhere. You're just part of the life of the church. And if that's kind of the context you're coming from, you might be coming into Catoctin and saying, this seems a little odd. Why is there a process at all of membership? And why is membership this kind of formal thing that you sit down and interview for, and then you come up and you're received? And where does all of that come from? Is that really biblical? And you might think, well, you know, I can't think of any Bible verses that say, you know, here's when you need to go through the new members class and be on the rolls and all of those kinds of things. So is this something that we're adding to the Bible? We actually don't think it is. We think this is something that is profoundly biblical. And fundamentally, there are practical reasons why it's helpful to have this kind of a process. But the fundamental reason why we do church membership and why we have a process for church membership and why we encourage people to be a member somewhere is because we think that's what the Bible leads us to expect. We think that's what it calls us to. Now, again, if you do a word search on church membership, you won't find that phrase exactly like that in the scriptures. But we think this is something maybe a little bit like the Trinity. It would be helpful to think of it this way. There's no one, first off, the word Trinity doesn't appear in the Bible, right? Neither does the word Bible, by the way. And there's no one passage you can go to where Paul says, oh, by the way, let me just lay out, there's, you know, one God and three persons, and here's how the hypostatic union works. And you know, he doesn't do that. And yet, when you read about how God is described in the Bible, and you kind of put all those pieces out and say, okay, well, if this is true, and this is true, and this is true, and this is true, how do they fit together? How can we make sense of that? What you end up with is the doctrine of the Trinity, as all Christians have confessed and understood that to be. And we think in the same way, something similar happens when you look at how does the church operate? Right? And you can see this in the Old Testament, but even just if we say, let's focus on the New Testament church, right? What did the church look like? How did the church operate? What are we called and commanded to do as Christians? And what is that kind of, what's the kind of end product of that? And we think that it's actually impossible to do what the Bible calls us to do as individual Christians, or to be what the Bible calls us to be as a body of Christians if we don't have something formal like church membership. Now, there's a lot we could go through here. One of the resources that you have for this class is a short, I think 3 or 4 page articles that's just called 10 Things You Should Know About Church Membership. And he goes through a number of the kind of arguments for this, highlights a number of scriptures. Take some time to look over that this week. And especially if this is something that you wrestle with, take some time to look up those passages and just kind of trace the logic. But I want to just highlight one or two of those examples for us today. So think about passages like this, like Romans 12, verses 4 through 5. Listen to the way that Paul is describing the church. He says, "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another." Now, you can see there the word members, right? This is part of where we get this idea that to be a member means that you are part of a whole. And that's the kind of biblical category I want us to think about. You can think about other places where this language is used. Paul will talk about this in 1 Corinthians 12, won't he? Of being the body of Christ. And he'll say, you know, we can't say, well, you know, I'm an ear and, you know, you're the mouth, but we don't need each other. It's like, no, the whole point is, you know, any one part of the body cut off from the rest becomes something dead. It becomes something grotesque, right? It's a tragedy when you lose a member. And in the same way, the body of Christ is meant to hold together. There's a wholeness that is essential to the Christian life. This is really important because I think a lot of us, you know, rugged American individualism, we embrace this idea of kind of being Lone Ranger Christians. And so church is sort of a resource that might be helpful for me to realize my best Christian life, right? But that's all that I think about it as. This is something to help me be what I want to be as a Christian. Well, there's a couple of problems with that. One is that is viewing the church as something that exists for you, right? It's something that is really a tool for you to use, and it makes it something optional. If you're the kind of person who finds it helpful and encouraging to sit in church on a Sunday and go to a fellowship meal, then you have that option. But if that's not really your type of thing and you would get more out of just hiking up to Bear's Den and reading your Bible, well, then do that, right? If the goal is just me feeling like I'm growing, then do what works for you. And that is very much the ethos that shapes, I think, a lot of American Christians, a lot of American churches, right? What's the problem with that? Well, you don't see any Lone Ranger Christians in the New Testament. What you find instead is a much more complex picture. Notice the individuality and particularity that's in view in Paul's mind. You are individually members one of another. So it's not a flattening out of your individual Christian walk, your individual personality, or your individual needs. That is very much there. But the pattern of Scripture is, first off, you will only grow and become what you need to be as you are in connection and community with other Christians. And that Christ is present in a particular way with the body of believers that goes beyond just what we as an individual believer might experience. Think about as well, so just see that pattern through the Scriptures of how there's never an individualistic focus. The individual is important in connection with the whole. It's the part in the whole. That's kind of one thing to see. Another thing to see is what we are called to do, and then think about how we can actually accomplish this. So think about something like Hebrews 10, 24 through 25, where the writer to the Hebrews will say, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." So that's something we are called as believers to do. Part of your call from Christ is to consider how you can stir up other people, each other, to love and good works. And one of the ways you do that, kind of a prerequisite for that really, is that you're actually with other people. You're actually meeting together. You're actually gathering together so that you can encourage one another as you look for the coming of Christ one day. How are we supposed to do that if there is not a defined body of believers? How do you know who it is that you are responsible to stir up, to encourage, to love and good works if the church is this kind of amorphous thing, right? Let's think about this as well, not only from kind of an every Christian member, ministry kind of perspective, but also from the perspective of church leaders. Hebrews also talks about this. Hebrews 13:17 says this, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you." Now, there's a lot packed into this verse, but just notice the assumptions that are behind this command. It is assuming that you, as an individual Christian, are part of a body, that there are leaders in that body, and that you are working to obey and submit to those leaders. It also assumes, from the leader perspective, that part of what that leadership involves is keeping watch over the souls of those in your congregation, right? And it adds this, yes.
Sorry, which passage?
This was Hebrews 13:17. Hebrews 13:17. And it also adds this as well. This is something that any church officer should take very seriously and soberly, that officers are described, leaders are described as those who will have to give an account for the souls of those under their care. Now, imagine that the body of believers is not defined in any way. There's no real way for leaders to know who exactly is part of this body. Who exactly am I responsible for? When I come before Christ at the day of judgment, who is he going to point to and say, "Did you shepherd their souls? Were you accountable to them?" Let's think as well from the member perspective, right? Is Catoctin the only church in Percival or Loudoun County? No, there's lots of good churches. Well, who are you actually called to meet with? Who are you called to encourage and stir up to love and good works? Who are you called to obey and submit to in terms of leadership? All of these things that we're told to do, you can only do if there's a sense of commitment and identification with a particular body. So what we're saying is this, that the command to get on the rolls of a church is not something that's spelled out in Scriptures. But if you don't have something like defined church membership, it becomes very hard to see how you're supposed to do and be all the things that the Bible calls us to do and be. That's kind of the biblical argument. Maybe here's one illustration I can use. You know, people will often use the same kind of argument about church membership that will pop up when the world is talking about the marriage commitment. You know, have you ever heard someone say, "Well, you know, I've been living with this person, and we're committed to each other. You know, we love each other, we serve each other, we share finances, but I just don't think I need a piece of paper to formalize that," right? Is there any problem with that way of thinking? Well, of course, as Christians, we would say, yes, there is. It's good that you are loving each other and maybe sacrificing, but what you have is something less than a marriage. And part of the essential feature of a marriage is there's a binding commitment there where you can't just walk away and decide I'm done. There would be a process to follow. In the same way as Christians, if you can just drift into a church, you can just drift out of a church. There's nothing to hold you accountable. There's nothing to tether you. There's nothing to root you. There's no one who's responsible for you. And yet the Bible doesn't paint that picture of the church. It paints a picture of the church where we belong to each other, we're accountable to each other, and where we recognize our sinfulness to say, there may come a time when I need someone to pull me back, right? When I need a shepherd to kind of bring me in line and say, what you're doing is in contradiction to the faith, you know? And so membership is a way of rooting ourselves in that, of having that accountability, of being and doing what the Scriptures call us to do. So that's a really important point to make, because I think, again, church membership is often kind of a foreign concept. But we think it's biblical. And we think it's biblical, not arbitrarily, but because it's good for us, right? So we think membership is actually vital to produce healthy Christians and healthy families, as we've talked about. Every one of those one another passages in the Bible, in the New Testament, is a passage about church membership. Those are things that you should be doing and receiving from each other. So Lone Ranger Christians are not part of the picture of the Bible, and will produce anemic, stunted Christian growth. It's in the context of a local body. It's in the context of regular worship. It's in the context of being with people that aren't always like you, that don't always agree with you, that we are forced to grow, to show grace, to receive grace, to seek grace. And that's what we think membership does. And so we think it's really important for you as an individual Christian, or your family as a Christian family, to be part of a church if you're going to grow. It also works the other way around, that you being part of a church is not only helping you to grow, it's helping others to grow, right? There's always this one another reciprocal relationship where we're connected with each other, and our growth or even our struggles will help to produce growth in the church as a whole. And when we talk about growth, we don't just mean, oh good, we have more members or more giving or something like that. We're talking about becoming more like Christ, serving Christ better, loving Christ more. And that's what we think membership is for, to help us in all of those things. So what does it mean to be a member? Let me just run through a few of these things, and then we'll take the last 5 minutes to just give people a chance to introduce themselves, and we can get to know each other there. So what does it mean to be a member? Let me just give you one illustration that I found really helpful for thinking about this. Our pastor back in Michigan used this, and I thought it was really great. He said, you know, when we're looking for a new church, we often approach finding a church like we would considering going on a cruise, right? Where, you know, the cruise ship will give you the brochure and say, okay, you know, here's all the things we're going to see, and here's all the amenities we offer, and here's the food and all this kind of stuff. And you kind of look at what's on offer and then decide, do I want to sign up for the cruise or not, right? But we kind of come with this consumer mentality. And if we do sign up, what is our assumption? Well, I'm signing up because of what the cruise ship can offer me, right? I'm here as a passenger, and I'm here to enjoy all that is offered to me on this voyage. A lot of people approach the church that way. Is that the biblical picture? And his argument was, no, biblically speaking, the church is not so much a cruise ship as it is a battleship, right? So what's the difference? Well, the battleship is not a place where you kind of come and you set up your deck chair and you say, you know, let me know when brunch is served, right? Those of you who have been in the military will know that's not how things operate, right? Everyone on the ship has work to do. Everyone on the ship has a purpose. Everyone on the ship is actually advancing the mission as a whole. Whether you're peeling potatoes, you know, down in the hole, or whether you are the guy in charge of the whole operation, everyone has work to do. And your purpose is found in the broader mission of the ship. That's more the biblical picture. So there are things that we want to provide for you to help you grow in your faith, of course. And it's not wrong to think about, is this a church that will help us to grow as Christians? In fact, that's part of the process that I think you know, some of you are going to be working through. But as you think about what it means to be a member, I would say that's one of the kind of paradigm shifts. Think about yourself not as signing onto a cruise ship where you get a kind of, you know, select from the buffet of ministry offerings, but that you're signing up on a battleship to say, okay, I believe in the mission of the church. I believe in the work of the church, and I think that God is calling me here to be part of that work, right? So there's a real commitment there. And that commitment plays out in a couple of different ways, okay? It plays out in terms of, you know, time, talent, and treasure, right? People often use those three, time, talent, and treasure. I think that's helpful for us, right? That what that means to be a member then, first off, is that you are committing to actually gather together, to actually worship together. So, you know, coming and being involved is a meaningful way of expressing and living out that commitment, right? Both in terms of worship, right? So coming to worship services, coming to Sunday school, coming to, you know, other ministries that may be a help to you, and also work. So what you want to be looking for is areas where you can be involved and areas where you can be serving. Now, that service can take a lot of different forms. For some people, it means they're heading up a whole ministry, right? Or they're serving, you know, in some regular capacity as a Sunday school teacher or a sound team or whatever. It could also just be, I'm going to come to the fellowship meal and I'm going to help, you know, pick up chairs and sweep the floor and take out the trash and, you know, things like that. There's all sorts of ways of serving one another. And part of that process is you learning what your gifts are and learning what the needs of the congregation are and seeing where there's a match, right? But I would encourage you to think about how you could use your time, and we've kind of already bled into your talents, right, to bless the church, to be involved with the church. Let me just say one more thing about that as well that I think is helpful to remind us of. You know, when you are looking to join a church, usually the process goes something like this. Especially if you're actually moving from one church to another. You know, usually there's something in the last church that you didn't quite like, you know, there's some problem, some issue, they don't do this enough or they do too much of that. And then probably in the new church, they don't have that problem. And so you get really excited and you think, oh good, finally, you know, we don't have to do this anymore. We get to do more of that. That's what I really want. Well, what's going to happen as you join with that new body of believers and you actually live life together? Well, you're going to find out they've got problems. Not the same problem maybe as the one you left, but there's some other area where they're imbalanced. They do too much of this or not enough of that. You know, maybe you look and say, oh, you know, I just wish there was more outreach or something, or more evangelism. And you start to see this as a problem, and then you say, you know, maybe we should look for somewhere else. And you find a church that has the weak, you know, the strength that this other church doesn't have, and you move on. Well, what happens in that way of doing the Christian life? Well, again, you're in a cruise ship mentality, right? You're the consumer, and you're going to look back over your life and say, wow, we've jumped from one church to the next, to the next, to the next over the last 5 or 10 years, and we've not put down roots anywhere, right? So what's the alternative? Well, the alternative is to recognize that part of why God might have put you in that church is to see a problem or a weakness that the church couldn't see before. So if you see a gap, it may very well be that God put you there to see that gap and to help fill that gap. And I can tell you right now, there are lots of things as a church we would like to do more of or do better. Some of those things are on our radar screen. Some of them probably aren't. But God might be bringing you to be part of this body to help us grow in some of those areas. So if you see a gap, don't view that as a kind of, oh, that's a negative mark. View that as, this is an opportunity. Maybe this is why God has brought me here. And then, of course, treasure, you know, and that involves not only just, you know, giving of your tithe and things, but giving of yourself, right? Fixing a meal for people, helping with childcare, coming around those who are in need. In all of these ways, we're living out that commitment. We're shifting the mindset from this is a cruise ship that's about me to this is a battleship that is about the mission of Christ. And that's the kind of paradigm we want to have. Lots of other things we could say, but of course, time has gotten away from me. It's always amazing how fast how fast it goes. When you're on this side of the podium, my grandmom had a little like cross stitch thing outside the bathroom door that said how long a minute is depends on which side of the bathroom door you're on. And it's kind of that same feeling when you're up here. It's like, okay, it went so quickly. May not feel that way to you. But there's more things we could say about that. I would encourage you, read that little article, The 10 Things About Church Membership, because it'll go beyond what we've talked about here. And feel free to talk to me if you have any questions or want to probe into more about why membership or what it means to be a member. Well, thank you for your time. Let me pray for us and we'll wrap up this week's lesson. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the chance to be part of your body, to be saved by you, but not just to be saved as individuals, but to be saved to be part of something bigger than ourselves, part of your body, part of your household, part of your church. And I just pray that you would use this class to help us enjoy and appreciate what all that means, and that you would make this class, again, just as a whole, helpful and useful for every single person here and for those who will be joining us again next week as well. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.